Once a month, we hear what it is like to live with mental illness. Our guides are the people of Southern Oregon Compass House in Medford. It's built on the clubhouse model of community mental health care. It's a place where people with persistent mental illness can come together to support each other and their shared place. On this morning's edition, we're going to hear from Rory, who is a Compass House Clubhouse member, in a recorded interview with Compass House's Remington Jarvie.
I am originally from Southern California. We moved around a lot, and so I've been to like a lot of different schools throughout my childhood, I think about 20 total. When I was 16, almost 17, like a month before I turned 17, we moved up to Eagle Point. And so I went there for my last year of high school and the last month of junior year. So I finished high school in Eagle Point, and then right before I finished my senior year, we moved to Medford.
What was it like moving around that much? Some people like it, some people don't.
It sucked really bad. We moved a lot mostly because of my mom. She would kind of go back and forth to our dad. We kind of moved because of my mom's relationship problems, basically. So we went to a lot of different schools because of that.
So how old are you during all this time that you became aware of the problems that you deal with that are unique to you, or that you started wondering if you had different challenges than other people?
Well, I guess I'll mention that I'm transgender. I'm non-binary, so that's one thing that I've dealt with, although in my childhood is kind of difficult. I mean, my family's kind of more progressive, I guess, so they're not really, you know, too prejudiced. So it's not like, you know, if I had come out during my childhood, I would have been kicked out. But it was kind of difficult just because I didn't have the information to figure things out about myself. And I mean, even people who are progressive tend to be ignorant without meaning to be. And so that was something that I kind of dealt with throughout my childhood, but didn't figure that out till after high school. When I had the information to figure that out. And mental health wise, I mean, probably about the same time I started to notice my gender issues. Probably about 7 is when I started dealing with depression and suicidal ideation. And I mean, I think there's a lot of undiagnosed mental illness within my family. And that kind of made things more difficult because people kind of in my family tended to look at it as character flaws rather than, you know, something, a disorder that you're dealing with.
A personal struggle, not something that needs a professional solution or support.
Yeah.
From what I understand, we had talked briefly that you struggle with many different things, but one that you feel like a lot of people misunderstand is you have borderline personality disorder, correct?
Yes.
Okay. When did that become something that you consciously were struggling with?
I mean, I did not know what borderline personality disorder was until one of my sisters was diagnosed with it when she was like a late teenager. I mean, a lot of times they won't diagnose teenagers with personality disorders. So that was my first experience with it through her. And I sort of developed my own negative view of it because of that and because of negative views that I read online or heard from other people. But as I got older into my 20s, I kind of started to realize that, oh, I think that I might be like that too. And I brought it up with a previous therapist, and she disagreed, which I think was probably because I kind of concealed a lot of the symptoms of borderline, because I also have avoidant personality disorder, so I tend to kind of really withdraw and keep things in there and not express things. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of weird when you have avoidant personality disorder and borderline personality disorder, because they kind of seem like opposite, so it kind of feels like sometimes, like outwardly, maybe it seems like they cancel each other out.
Mm-hmm. What are some misconceptions that people have of personality disorder?
With borderline personality disorder, there are a lot of misconceptions about it, even within people who are supposed to be, like, you know, professionals on mental health. And with borderline personality disorder, a lot of people tend to view it as people with borderline kind of act out, you know, try to kill themselves, or, you know, suicidal and parasuicidal behavior just for, you know, attention, or people kind of tend to not take it them seriously. They kind of tend to view it as it's just a cry for attention and not like a genuine, this person's really hurting. And I'll speak for myself. I should speak for myself rather than saying everybody. When I get that way, I genuinely feel so overwhelmed by my emotions, because with borderline, you got like some big emotions and they are hard to handle. Like, that's why they created dialectical behavior therapy, to give people with borderline the skills to deal with such, you know, big emotions, because your emotions go wild. I get so overwhelmed by my emotions that I genuinely feel like I have to die, or I'm going to feel like this forever. And it really sucks. And it's even worse when I feel that way and then some nurse or doctor at the hospital doesn't take me seriously because of my diagnosis.
So you mentioned
dialectical behavior therapy.
Right. Is that something that you've been using for a while? Is that something that's helped you?
Yeah. I mean, I've been doing it off and on for about 3 years, and then like consistently for about the past year and a half, every week for the past year and a half. So that's a lot. And then it's generally with dialectical behavior therapy, DBT, they have you see a individual therapist once a week and do a skills group once a week. So I've been doing that for a year and a half. So 2 therapy appointments every week. Uh-huh. It's a lot.
Maybe someone, whether they've been diagnosed with this or they are struggling with it, thinking that maybe they do have it, what encouragement would you give them, or what advice?
I mean, my advice would be seek out some way to go to DBT. Or even if you can't, like you don't have insurance and you can't, you know, go see a therapist or anything, I would say, like, look it up online. You can find the skills anywhere. You can probably even find the worksheets. They're very helpful. It's a lot easier when you have people helping you every week learn the skills. But I mean, even on your own, like, there are a lot of online resources you could look up for it. And really practicing them, like, even when you don't want to or you think it's not working, it does work if you keep trying at it.
We're back with Compass Radio here on the Jefferson Exchange. We just heard an interview with Compass House's Remington Jarvie and Rory, who is a Compass House member. Compass House uses the club model for treating people with mental illness, and our monthly segment is devoted to giving Compass House members a voice. Joining us again in the studio is the Compass House Executive Director, Elizabeth Hazelwood. Good morning.
Good morning.
So in past interviews, Elizabeth, we've heard again and again how important it is for someone to get a proper diagnosis and proper medication for their mental illness. We've had a lot of Compass House members on the show who have dual diagnosis. They've got really serious chemical issues that are being treated with medication. But in Rory's case, her condition is better treated by a form of talk therapy called dialectical behavior therapy. What is that?
So it is an intensive therapy that really focuses on behaviors and altering behaviors. There are a lot of really fantastic providers here in the county that work specifically with that. We've actually, about a year ago, did a partner session with one of them. So that might be something to look into if you're interested. Also, there are some great resources that you can reach out to if you feel that this might be helpful to you.
So how does this differ from cognitive behavior therapy?
Well, I'm not a clinician, so I actually don't want to get into that too much just because I don't want to give misinformation. I would like to talk about, though, that September is Suicide Prevention Month, mm-hmm. and there is an amazing, amazing new campaign that is just released from United Way of Jackson County. That's Shatter the Silence, and it specifically talks about not being afraid to ask. If you love someone and you care about them and you are concerned that they are thinking about suicide, it is okay to ask. You're not going to put any ideas in anybody's head. Ask the question so that way people can get the help that they need, and it really can save lives.
Because one of the things we heard Rory talk about is, you know, sometimes she's just overwhelmed with her emotions, and that sometimes leads to thoughts of suicide. And then the additional issue that she has because of her borderline personality disorder is getting healthcare professionals to believe her.
Absolutely. It's definitely one of those things that's very challenging in the mental health world, because even people that are trained sometimes have a hard time distinguishing when things are serious and what that looks like. But when it comes to suicide, that should always be taken seriously because lives matter and lives are lost.
So you mentioned you're not a clinician, but you obviously do interact with a lot of people with mental illness. So can you describe in more detail what exactly borderline personality disorder is?
Well, it's one of those diagnoses that looks a little different for everybody. Everybody's individual, and so everybody manifests symptoms in different ways. It is one of those diagnoses that is often hard to come by, and a lot of times people that have that diagnosis wait years before actually getting it, because it is one of the ones that's a little harder to diagnose. Most of our members that live with borderline personality have struggled for decades with not knowing what the actual diagnosis was beforehand, and then once they get that diagnosis, they can kind of look at things and then look back at their lives and how that has affected them. And almost across the board, everybody says, I wish I would have known this 10 years ago. It would have helped me understand kind of my choices and why I felt the way I did and why I acted the way I did.
And so you mentioned why I acted the way I did. Mm-hmm. So people with borderline personality disorder, a lot of this comes out in behaviors, right? Because, and that would be suggested by the fact that the DBT or dialectical behavior therapy is so effective for them. So how does it affect their day-to-day lives? I mean, they must have a difficult time fitting in.
It is challenging, and that's one of the things that's the most challenging, is especially with diagnoses that have extra stigma tied around it. A lot of times people don't feel comfortable talking about their diagnosis, especially when it's borderline personality disorder, because they don't want people to have preconceived notions about what that looks like and about who they are. So a lot of times people don't share that information, and then it kind of makes people feel guilty about having a diagnosis that they feel like might be seen negatively. And I mean, we've come so far with medical diagnosis. No one's ashamed to say that they have diabetes or heart problems, but we're not there yet with mental illness.
Elizabeth Hazelwood is our guest this morning for our monthly Compass Radio segment. She's the executive director of Compass House. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can call us from anywhere in our listening area at 800-838-3760, or you can send us an email. The email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So last month on Compass Radio, we heard from a member of Compass House who was talking about her medication, and she said, and she had just accepted the fact that she's going to have to take that for the rest of her life in order to lead a normal, productive life. And if somebody has borderline personality disorder and they're undergoing dialectical behavior therapy, and then they stop it, In the same way that somebody might stop their psychological medication or their medication for their mental illness, does that become a problem for them again? Do they kind of lapse back into the behaviors that led to the diagnosis to begin with?
I think like anything else, it's about making a conscious effort to make a life change and to stick with it. You know, when you start a new diet program, if you decide to go back off of that for a while, you definitely see the effects. It's the same thing. When you're going through therapy, it is a lot of work, and it's really about self-evaluation and staying present and making sure that you get the support that you need. Sometimes it can be too much, and so people do walk away from it. And then that's when they need the support the most, so that way they can get back to it.
So based on what you see at Compass House, is this a pretty common diagnosis?
Yes, it is. A lot of our members have multiple diagnoses, but this is one that we see fairly often.
And do people with borderline personality disorder, I mean, you mentioned earlier that this is a really individualized kind of diagnosis. Everybody has different challenges, but are there some common challenges that they have with dealing with the world?
Absolutely. But the one thing that I wanted to say is that at Compass House, we don't necessarily, we record diagnosis for demographic information, mm-hmm. but the staff are not aware for the most part of what people's individual diagnosis is, because we really focus on a person as an individual, and it's the one place that they can get away from that and just be Rory or Tom or Bob. So we don't focus on the specific challenges around mental health. We focus on the strengths, talents, and abilities, and how to build on what you have and go forward, whether it's vocationally, educationally, sometimes just having a group that accepts you. Rory talked about a couple of other individual issues for her, well, for them, about being transgender, and that is scary too. And so having a community where you're accepted regardless of your mental health diagnosis or how you identify is incredibly important. It's incredibly important for all of us as a community in general.
So at Compass House, your members, you have a lot of programs for your members, mm-hmm. Especially vocational programs. You put them to work at Compass House and also help them find jobs outside of Compass House. Mm-hmm. But for people like Rory, for example, they can just drop in and hang out at any time, right?
Yeah, everything is voluntary. People set their own schedules and the frequencies that they come into Compass House. Some people are there 8 hours a day. Some people we see once a month. And I actually wanted to say Rory is a part of our transitional employment program and is doing amazing, has transitioned back into the workforce recently.
And do you have employers who regularly come to you for referrals?
Absolutely. We work directly with two employers at this time for transitional employment, but we partner with about 30 employers across the valley for supported and independent employment. We have 56 members that we've gotten jobs in the last year.
We're talking with Elizabeth Hazelwood. She's the director of Compass House, our monthly Compass Radio segment. You can join the conversation at 800-838-3760. Or by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Very quickly, Elizabeth, what are some of the resources available for people in Southern Oregon who might be interested in investigating dialectical behavior therapy?
Jackson County, the mental health website, directly has some. United Way has currently right now under their Shatter Their Silence campaign has links directly to mental health resources throughout the community, and you can always call us and we can help connect you.
Great. Thank you very much, Elizabeth. This has been our monthly edition of Compass Radio. We'll have another interesting interview, another interview with folks from Compass House next month.